Turn your Bible tonight to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter number 23 tonight. Now I want you to listen to me tonight with an open heart, an honest heart. I don't like to even apologize, and I'm not apologizing. I'm just trying to set forth a spirit of you listening to what I'm saying tonight because of the subtlety of this sin of gluttony. Most of you would feel like that you have nothing at all to be concerned about in the sin of gluttony. Now, that may be true, but I want you to listen and make that judgment on a solid foundation, not just because your own mind tells you that you're not guilty of this particular sin. So I want you to hear me tonight. I want you to be honest tonight. It won't hurt anybody. It's always profitable to be honest. There's nothing wrong with hearing a man out on a subject, even though you're sure at the first of it. Well, I'm not guilty of that at all. I mean, if somebody were preaching tonight on some vile sin that I have nothing to do with, well, I still need to hear him out and see what the Lord has to say to me. And that's what I want you to do tonight, because tonight I'm going to go ahead and talk more about the particular thing that started this group of messages, and that is gluttony. I want to talk to you tonight about what gluttony is. I want you to hear me. I want to show you what it is not. I want to show you the causes of this sin of gluttony. I want to show you the awfulness of gluttony. And I want to acquaint you with more particular helps to fight against it. Now, I've already acquainted you with the nature of it. The nature of gluttony is to gratify and to satisfy your flesh. So let's look tonight here in Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 1. We'll read 3 or 4 verses, but mainly verse number 2. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now notice that, given to appetite. What does that mean? What does it mean to be given to appetite? Is that just a fat person? Or is that someone who eats what he wants to because he wants to eat it? No regards to his health, no regards to serving God, no regard, no, the end means is not. What does it mean to be a man that's given to appetite? It says, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat, is what God says. He says, when you get around this upper class and you get around their tables, don't desire to pick up their eating habits. And by all means, if you're a man given to an appetite, he said it'd be better off you to go ahead and slit your throat to begin with. And I'll show you why the Lord says that by the time we get on somewhere in the next while. Now, weight is only one of the fruits of this sin of gluttony. Now, some of you may feel well about yourself because you're in good shape and you're not overweight, and that's wonderful, and I'm glad of it. And I pray that people like me, who's been very ignorant and foolish in my eating habits, that in time to come, I also will not be overweight. But overweight is only one sin or fruit of gluttony. There's a lot of others, and I want to show you that tonight. This particular fruit may not be on your vine. The fruit of gluttony that you find on your vine may not be on my vine. We've got several in here sick tonight. You're sick for a reason. There's a reason that you want to throw up and have diarrhea, feel bad. There's a reason for that. And it may not be because you're carrying any extra pounds. It may not be that at all. Now let me show you what gluttony is. Gluttony is a voluntary excess in eating. And when I say excess, don't tie it in with fat people. Now I will tell you, I'm not saying anybody is in particular guilty tonight. I'm not trying to change anybody's habits per se. I'm just telling you and showing you something God showed me that you'd be very wise to lay a hold of. Gluttony is a voluntary excess in eating for the pleasing of the appetite or for some other carnal end. What do you mean by carnal end? Well, the Israelites are a good example. They loathed manna. They didn't like that simple diet that God put them on. And they despised it. And they had a carnal end. And what was that carnal end? They hated manna, and they must have a change of diet, but it was for their appetite and not for their health. They were concerned more about being able to taste this, that, and other than having the proper food that they needed to make this journey across the wilderness. The Bible said, "The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before eyes." Now, what was the end or effect of this excess of meat that they wanted? Let me read it to you. "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought forth quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth." A yard, maybe. "And the people stood up all day and all night." There's a lot of people stand up all day and night to cook meat, to eat, and just dive in and just eat to the excess. Not just fat people now. Not just people that's overweight. They stand up all day, the Bible says, and all night. "And the next day, and they gather the quails, he that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them all abroad." They spent all night long fixing them. And all day long fixing them. And they spread it all out so everybody could get a great big mouthful of this quail. Now listen. "And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, for they ever got to swallow it down and feel that good feeling, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague." You see, the Israelites, they didn't want food for the benefit of strengthening them to do God's will. They lusted after an appetite for things just because it would satisfy their taste without any regards to the end of it. That's what gluttony is. One meaning of gluttony is desiring something just because your appetite wants it, and not for that which would be most helpful to give you strength to serve the Lord. Gluttony, number two, may be the excess in quantity when more is eaten than's needed for your body. And I'm sure that most Americans are guilty of this type of gluttony. You put more in than your body can burn, and no doubt, to average man in here, your colon is so cankered that you'll never live to see 60 years old because of eating too much at one time, of just gobbling it down to the point that you have a name that you can eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and never get enough, and even brag on your ability to eat. It may be an excess in delicious quality when more regard is had to delight in sweetness of what you're eating than whether or not it's actually good for you. I mean, we're doctoring up foods in such a way that it appeases our taste no matter what it does to our system. Or it may be an excess in the frequency of eating. Just eating too many times and too often. This is when men find themselves eating many times a day and sitting long at the table. In other words, gluttony is an excess. Not only in quantity, but it can be in delicious quality. You're more concerned about the taste than you are the quality of the food. In other words, that's to be given to appetite. That's to satisfy your flesh. Now, you have to hear all of this. If you start to rise up on the inside, then I'm sorry if you listen to all of it. Gluttony may be an excess in the costliness or price of food. This is when men feed themselves at too high rates. They buy food that's too expensive for their incomes. They spend way too much on eating big meals that cost big money. I mean, folks, if you go out and afford a $50 meal, I can't have much mercy on you. You don't need my help if you can eat like that. I mean, you can afford to go out there and splurge and spend that kind of costly money when your income, it don't match up. You've got other things that are necessity that need to be taken care of, and you can splurge that big amount of dollars on money. That can fall into the category of gluttony. In other words, doing that which satisfies your appetite, whether it's reasonable or not, you're going to spend the money. Oh, it's nothing now for people to pay $25 and $30 a plate at some of these places. It's nothing for people to go out and spend, a husband and wife spend $30 or $40 on a meal. In other words, gluttony can be an excess in the cost or the price of the food you eat. Gluttony may be an excess in the preparation and the saucing and the dressing of our foods. As we've noticed, there's very, very little cooking done anywhere anymore in a plain and simple method. It all has something added, some kind of coating, some kind of sauce. It's been soaked in something. And now food is being, there is being more preparation added to it than ever before. In other words, we're always trying to turn out some taste to satisfy our flesh. It's very rare you run into just a piece of chicken anymore. It's had something done to it. You go a long ways to get what you used to call at your house a piece of fried chicken. It's been soaked. It's been dipped. It's been done a number of other things too, to make it taste like everything but chicken. In other words, that's a habit. In other words, all these other places are always putting some kind of sauce, some kind of something or other on these foods they're cooking, trying to appeal to a man's taste, which is appealing to his flesh. We care not what it does for our health. We'll eat about anything as long as our flesh is happy eating it. If it's a new taste or a different taste, we enjoy it, not even thinking about what it could be. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with saucing stuff or adding stuff or putting stuff in your food, ladies. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying we're almost given to that. And our whole purpose is, it has nothing to do with being serviceable to God. It has to do with pleasing my flesh. This is what gluttony is. Gluttony is usually for some carnal end. Now listen. If your birthday is this week, I've seen it happen hundreds of times. I'm guilty of what I'm preaching on. Suppose you fix somebody a birthday supper and you invite them over and others to come share in on their birthday party. Now what happens is, because it's your birthday and somebody's went out of their way and trouble themselves to prepare some food for you, in most cases you'll be bound to eat inordinately. You'll eat more than what you ought to eat so that you'll please the one that had you over for supper. Remember, I believe it was back there in the school, I've seen a great big sandwich I believe it fits for you. Great big sandwich. To be a blessing to someone, we get them to sin, to satisfy their flesh. I remember one time, some great big baked potato. Or I myself have oftentimes put great large portions on people's plate. And so many times people give way to temptation, eat beyond what they know that makes them feel good. In other words, they begin to feel bad because of the consumption of food. A great big cookies, great big steaks. We're just living in a society where it's just a lot of great big things. And by the way, it's getting to be more and more great big people on account of this spirit that's in our land. It is undoubtedly a sin when we eat inordinate for the pleasing of others that urge us to do so. Well, come on, have another one. Eat another one. Come on, have another one. And what has most of our gatherings been but a constant eating and a nibbling and a gnawing on something the whole of the time that we're together? Some will urge you to eat more and more. And some will even enter a contest. If you'll eat one, I'll eat one. If you eat another, and I'll eat another. And eat and eat and eat till there's discomfort. All, as innocent as it may seem, is still gluttony. I don't care if you ever gain a pound. I don't care if you lose weight. It's still inordinate eating and eating beyond that which you need to strengthen your body to the place that you discomfort yourself. It's gluttony. It's a yielding to the appetite. People I've seen race to see how fast they could take down a beverage. It's who could swallow it all up. There's people that get in a contest to see who can eat the most. Well, there's some restaurants, I know one in Paisland, that'll give you a 30 or 25 ounce steak and this, that, and other. And if you can eat it all, they give you the meal without losing it. In other words, it's all kinds of things around to entice you and I to break over into this sin of gluttony, is what I'm saying. And by the way, how often can you say, as I can say tonight, how many times have you been guilty of urging people to keep on eating when they ought to stop? They ought to stop. They ought to cut it off, you see. I remember when I was a little boy, I was at Uncle Tom's. Uncle Tom was my daddy's brother-in-law. His wife, Aunt Magdalene, was his sister. And we was over there having some kind of outing, gathering. And I remember they were having hot dogs that day. And I remember I ate 5 hot dogs when I was, I can't remember exactly what age, but maybe 14. And I remember how miserable this day I still was when I swallowed that last bite of the 5th hot dog. Oh, not realizing at all what I was doing and laying up for myself later on in life by putting the excess of food into my body. People see who can eat the most pizza. There's all kinds of contests around to get you to break over the bounds of reason and gratify your flesh, even to the hurting of yourself, even to the taking the next bite, which makes you feel miserable for quite some time. The common gluttony is when eating is done for the pleasing of the appetite with such delight and pleasure in what you eat without any regard to how helpful it is to you or how it has strengthened you for your service. This kind of eating is usually hurts the body and the soul. It hurts the body by excess. You see, folks, everything you work with, you learn real quick, you can overload it, don't you? There ain't a drill made that you can't overload it. There ain't no kind of instrument ever made. In other words, it's a constant reminder God has put in front of us every day that you can overload something and put it in the trash pile before it's due to be there because it was overloaded. The proper use of any tool determines the longevity of that tool. The more a tool, you take a saw, the more times you shove lumber through it and put pressure on it at an unusual rate, the more trouble you're going to have or the less life there's going to be in that saw. The same with your body. An overloading of your body with food is very, very negative to your body's health, and your soul is hurt because of the inordinate pleasure you have in loading your body to the gill. Another kind of gluttony is when men will not fast or abstain from food when they're required to do so. If a man never overeats in quantity or he never spends too much on groceries, yet if he will not abstain from food, his temperate diet, for several reasons, he becomes guilty of gluttony. Let me explain. There are times when a man needs to abstain from food, even if he's never guilty of overeating or coarse eating. One of those times is a public fast. When we have a situation here, and of course it's sad to say that our nation no longer honors God in that way to have national fast and public fast, but suppose we were to have a fast and somebody had a need, so many times people will not deny themselves, and that's you're guilty of satisfying the flesh or gluttony when you're unwilling to fast for certain situations. Another way that you can be guilty of this gluttony is when your lust requires you to deny your body. You find some lust that's raging, something you're not able to conquer, and the Lord lays it upon your heart to starve your flesh for a while, that it may bring it under subjection, but you're unwilling to do so. There again, you fall into the scope of gluttony. Third way that we can commit gluttony is when we refuse to listen to our body cry out when a particular food is known to hurt us. In other words, when the doctor diets you for health and tells you that your disease will be increased by certain foods. Now, you may be small, you may be medium built, but when something has proven to hurt you and you still want to eat it, you are a glutton. Just as much as somebody that's heavy or overweight. When certain foods prove to be injurious to your body, and when the desire of that food prevails over health, there's people tonight that's eating stuff that they know full well that's destroying their body, but the desire to please that appetite is so powerful, they keep on eating that which they know is hurting them. That's gluttony. That's gluttony. That's called digging your grave with your teeth. In other words, reason won't stop you. You know full well, it's like myself to find that cheese and stuff like that in large amounts can foul up my sinuses. And yet know that, but oh, to continue on to do that is so foolish. But that's the power of that flesh. Oh, it wants to be gratified. It wants to be satisfied. And when we go against reason, we go against our health. I mean, how many times you hear people say, when I eat that, it makes me feel bad. But they'll keep right on eating it. You fall into the category of being a glutton. All these are guilty of inordinate eating and excess, which the Bible terms gluttony. So we see that even though you may not be guilty of eating too much or eating too expensively, you still may be eating foods that are destroying your body, which puts you in the same category of gratifying or pleasing the flesh. Now, it's not the same quantity which makes success with one person as it does the other. In other words, this is something that you cannot judge for another person. You cannot sit there and look at them in most cases and say, well, I believe they're guilty of gluttony. That's not for you and I to do. Every man must be honest. You take a man that works and labors all day long, he may eat more than one that does work that takes less energy, burns less calories, and therefore his intake may need to be smaller than the fellow that works all the day long and burns off excess calories and energies by his working. Now, a strong and healthy body can eat more than a sick and weakly body is allowed to eat. And that healthy body can eat more, and it'd be all right for that body, than that sick body can, because more to that sick body, or the same quantity that the healthy man eat, may be very detrimental to the sick person. Every man will stand or fall according to his master. No man ought to judge another man in the quantity of food that he eats. It's not given to us. I'm not wanting to do that. I don't desire to do that. I don't want to look at your plate and say, well, I believe you got more than you need. I don't know that. But I'm telling you, you can be guilty of this thing of gluttony in more ways than one. Each person must be careful not to eat more than is for your health and beauty in order to please the appetite. You've got to be careful. Nothing wrong with appetite, but we're to never let appetite control us. There's nothing wrong with liking good foods, in particular food, but we must never let our desire or delight in a particular food cause us to eat inordinately or eat to the excess. The frequency of eating must also be considered with the quality of each person. I don't know how many times a day to tell you to eat. I said this. Somebody asked me a while back. I think 3 meals a day. I said that in comparison. Now, I'm not saying you got to eat 3 meals. But 3 meals a day rationed out would be better than starving yourself all day and busting a gut at 1 meal. Now, when I say 3 meals, I'm not talking about it may be an apple, it may be a banana, it may be something at breakfast, it may be something, some kind of bread or something at dinner, and then it may be supper. I'm not saying it's 3 cooked meals. I don't know if we have any particular guidelines on that in the Word of God, but I'm saying this, comparatively speaking, your body can handle 3 light meals better than it can handle 1 heavy meal. So oftentimes weight loss ends up to be that people starve themselves out, and then when it's time to eat, they eat to the excess. And let me tell you something, folks. I don't care what they say. I don't care if it's lettuce, praise God. You can put too much lettuce in your system. An excess is an excess. I don't care what the food is. I mean, you can eat so many apples it'll make you sick. You can eat foods that are absolutely good for you and make yourself sick and eat to the excess and cause a lot of that rot to stay in your system, which breeds diseases. So it's a matter of everybody being honest and saying, Lord, I need to eat my portion. One may rationally eat a little and often because of a need to meet his health need. Somebody may need to eat 6 times a day. Just little dabs, just little small portions. It may be better for them. Some people may need to eat 3 light meals a day. Some others. In other words, it all depends on the person, but each and every person can fall into the sin of gluttony. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, woe unto thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed are thou, O land, when the king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. You know, it's a blessed thing when you got men of character in office, is what God Almighty is telling us, who eat their meals and take care of themselves so they can be strong enough to govern and operate a nation. Gluttony can be seen again in the point of the cost. The same measure. Here again, you cannot put everybody in the same category. The president is apt to eat a different quality of food than you are able to eat yourself. And certainly, if I eat at your house and eat at the president's house next week, I wouldn't expect the same kind of foods. So when you go to one place, you cannot say, well, they're eating too costly, or they're too extravagant in their grocery bills, and they're spending too much money. No, we all need to stand and judge ourselves concerning the cost of our food. Unusual diet may differ from person to person. The more healthy a man is, the more healthy a man is, the more food that he may be able to take in and properly dispose of without hurting his body. The common man, you take him. He would not eat such things as a rich man would eat, and you would expect different in both places, but nevertheless, everybody needs to be careful of gluttony. I don't care if you spend, some people in this church spend $30 a week on groceries. That's all they spend. Some people spend more than that. Some people spend hundreds. Some people spend 200 maybe. I don't know what different people spend, but listen to me. Nobody can say, if you spend $50 a week and you say, well, somebody spends $100 every week, you cannot say and are not supposed to say they're guilty of being a glutton. Let that person stand or fall to his own master. A rich man may sit at his table longer than a poor man would need to sit there. Though unnecessary, sitting around a table nibbling from either crowd leads to gluttony, whether it's the president or the poor man. You know, the best habit you'll ever have when you get done eating, get up. Just go ahead and get up right then. Just get away from the table. If you sit there, you have a tendency to pull another piece. And to grab this. The best thing to do is eat your portion, get away from the table, let your wife and all clean that stuff up, lest you sit there long enough to continue eating again and put an excess in your body. It's not delight in eating. You say, preacher, are we not supposed? Oh, no. The delight in eating is not a sin. No, not at all. Oh, Jacob said, bring me venison and make me savory meat. Said Isaac. No, it's not pleasing the appetite. Say, preacher, I'm hungry. Is it wrong? No, pleasing your appetite is not a sin. God gave us taste buds. God would have us to have an enjoyment in our eating, you see. But eating becomes a sin when it's made our end. In other words, we enjoy it just for the eating of it and not referred to a higher end, which is to please and serve God Almighty. We must be careful of eating with just one thing in mind, and that is, boy, my flesh loves this. And boy, I'm going to enjoy digging into that. Remember, the flesh is that grand idol that constantly tempts you and I to bow to it. And one of the ways it does is by excessive drinking and eating. Some people, they can't live an hour without having a drink in their hand. They got to be guzzling some kind of drink, some kind of liquid all the time. Now, water, most people don't drink enough of that. But, we have a tendency, all these pops and ales we got at these stores and all the cheap price on them and all that. We're always, every place you can get a large one just for 10 cents more. In other words, they're always making provisions for that flesh. So we see that all eating is not gluttony, but the eating that leaves out the glory of God and the good of our bodies and the good of our souls, while certainly that is gluttony. Now, I want to mention some causes of this awful sin. Some causes. Now, the chief cause of gluttony is an inordinate appetite, together with a fleshly mind and will, which is set upon pleasing the flesh as its happiness. I mean, folks, I have gotten to the point in the last years where I just look heartily to the next meal. I mean, while I'm sitting there getting full, I'm apt to ask my wife what I'm going to have for the next meal. In other words, I got to the place that I realized that my life was built around eating. An inordinate appetite. And it wasn't that I wasn't being affected by it. I was feeling bad. I wasn't able to function. I just miserable in every way. But when that flesh gets you pinned to the mat, it does all it can to hold you down so that it might destroy you. You see, gluttony can be called the throat devil or the belly devil. So that's one cause, is an inordinate appetite, always looking for something to eat. Now, most of us older ones was not raised in places where there was all this variety of food. In other words, there just wasn't a lot of food laying around all the time that's so in this generation. People have excess of food, and what it does, it creates a desire in people to constantly be nibbling. And after you nibble and nibble and nibble, while the flesh will just outright tell you, well, you ain't had nothing today. You ain't had anything to eat at all today, but in fact, you have had something to eat. Now, the second cause of gluttony is a lack of a strong reason and faith and a spiritual appetite in a man. You see, if a man has strong faith to see the whole purpose of eating is to glorify God, then it can draw him off from this sin of gluttony and put him to being more careful to take care of his higher interest. There are pleasures more manly in which real happiness consists rather than satisfying our flesh. The higher pleasure is mentioned in like Romans. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, reason, just plain old reason, may do something to call us off from our appetite so that we will not be like a beast. But faith and love is the only thing that will cure an inordinate appetite, is to see it for what it is, a sin against a holy God. The third cause of gluttony is habit. You know, when the appetite is used to being satisfied, it gets more impetuous and importunate all the time. It starts calling for it. You start looking at it. You start wanting it. You start desiring it. Oh, a custom of temperance makes controlling the appetite a lot easier. You learn temperance, learn denial. This makes excess a burden. You know, there's people that will not eat another spoonful because they don't want to be miserable. They're accustomed to temperance. Rather than, how many can say you remember when you ate and you feel so miserable that all you want to do is flop down in a chair and lay there for a while after you've eaten a big meal? In other words, you've overloaded your body to the degree that you don't even feel like exercising yourself or doing anything. Now, it's like a fast. You know, the hardest time of a fast is just the first couple, 3 days. And then after that, if you're going to fast 5 or 6 days, then after the first 2 or 3 days, it isn't near the burden as it was the first 2 or 3. It's calling that flesh off from food that has habitually been taken in that's the toughest. And that's the same way with this matter of controlling our food. Listen to me. Only those who have one helping and discipline themselves, they find that it's more trouble to overeat than it is to undereat. So therefore, they choose not to discomfort themselves by excess at any given meal. Think of all the bad eating habits that our children have formed in the years. Think of how often they've been allowed to eat excessively. Junk. More than their body needs. More that would be good for them. More that would the need to take in to get the necessary things to make them strong. But oh, an excess to the fact is that they're weak and puny and sickly. All this can be contributed to bad dieting. Not only quantity, but quality of food that we buy them. You know, the average kid, 6 years old, gets for break what he wants for break, not what his daddy and mama thinks is good for him. But if they want junk, that's what they'll get. They'll pile and file in your school with their cookies and all their little Debbie cookies, and that's what they don't. That's what they want. And because of a blindness on the parents' part, we think it's love by buying them this junk, and so we let them feed upon that instead of fruits and things that would be much more helpful to them than this junk in candy and such stuff as that. Have you noticed every generation is getting sicker? Every generation is getting more and more. It's taking more and more pills for them to survive. I mean, there's some people right now, they can't live long without some pills. We've abused the gift of medicine in our nation. We've now taking medicine so that we can continue to gratify our flesh rather than change our appetite and not need the medicine. We've decided, well, rather than change my diet, I'll get on some medicine so that it'll offset my inordinate eating, so that I can still feel well enough to work, plus gratify my flesh off medicines. That's not at all why God gave us doctors. He didn't intend for you and I to have to live off pills, but we choose to do that because of our eating habits. Oh, our eating habits are so foul and so rotten. What is the next generation going to be like? Young people, take heed. Get you some good eating habits. Oh, learn to eat so that you that might live instead of live just to eat some more junk. Eat that which will cause you to feel good when you get 40 years old instead of cause you to feel bad before you get 25. Poor eating habits. That's a cause of gluttony. Eating in excess of sugars and all of that stuff. The fourth cause of gluttony that I want to mention is idleness. Loafing. You see, labor, a hard-working man, it does cause an appetite, yet hard work also cures a beastly and a sensual mind. Oh, young men, listen to me. Boy, you ought to pray that God would give you a job where you got to sweat all day. Don't be looking for these jobs where you loaf. Don't even now. Ask God to keep that from you. You need to work and keep your... It'll break off that sensual and beastly kind of mindset. Boy, an idle person has time to think about a lot of things. Don't even look for a job where you can just sit there all day and look at some dumb machine. Get you a job that keeps your mind and body busy. That's what I pray for. God, if you let me have a job, if I'm going to work out here in the secular world, to keep my mind busy and to keep my body busy. You see, when you have time to think, you got time to think about your gut. You got time to think about eating or drinking, you see. A man that does not have to stay busy has a lot of time to think about this and that. And they are troubled. People that don't stay busy have more problem with lust, son, than the fellow that works hard all day long. If your job calls for you to put your mind to it and your body to it, you're not going to be as given to lust as the fellow that's got a job where he don't have to think to do it. He can just operate and do that. Take the man that's wholly taken up with a trade, especially those that keep his mind and body busy, and you'll find the man that's not near, does have near the problem, this matter of gluttony and lustful thoughts. You see why? He gives his mind to something else rather than an appetite. The fifth cause of gluttony is the pride of having excess money. In other words, so many times, even people like us who don't have no money try to impress people with our ability to feed fine foods. We get to the place that we don't feel like we can invite people over to simplicity, just common foods. Just something ordinary, you see. And that's because we have money, extra money, and we can buy all these fancy delights and this big eating here, you see. And that's sad. Hey, we shouldn't want to be known for people who are able to buy fine foods. Now, I'm to be known for my hospitality, but I need to keep it on a simple level. Not spending large amounts of money. You know, a wealthy man, because of his money, he can make his house a place of sin. Just as a restaurant that serves liquor over here puts a snare to the people that come in there and brings a snare on themselves, so does a man who spends a large amount of money on the food that he buys so that he may impress people with the quality of the foods that he serves. Oh, they have it so their guests can drink all they want. They have their tables so excellent provided that the glutton has a wonderful time sitting at their table. In other words, you get a man that's got a lot of money. When everybody comes to his house, he puts them on trial of their temperance. They go in there and see that big spread and the large quantity and amounts. He automatically puts a temptation in front of everybody that walks in his house. All right, thank you, Vance. The rest of you will catch up later. They look to see if that bait, which is food and drink, that is set so near them and has been so studiously fixed, the best flavor they can absolutely put on it, and they put it there to see if men will break their bounds and go across that which God has forbidden them to do. It is sad to see that those who have a position of honor and money would use their money to entice others to sin against God. They enjoy a constant course of sinning and would think it would be a dishonor to live in temperance, to live where we have to deny ourselves, or to help others do the same. They think like this because they overvalue. Oh, I went over there to preachers and I eat this and I eat that. And boy, that was good and that was this and that was that. Oh, listen to me, folks. You know what that's called? It's called glorying in your shame. If I feed you and encourage you to eat to the excess, and you go say, man, that was the best food. I tell you, I hurt myself. And I'm sitting over there thinking, well, you know, I am pretty good. I'm glorying in my shame. That which you ought to be ashamed of is your pastor, is your leader, is the man to set an example for you, then there I go glorying in that, and that's so dishonorable. The sixth cause of gluttony that I want to speak about is this: the common practice of urging others to eat and eat and eat as if it's necessary to prove that we are friends. People have become so selfish that they suspect one another and think, oh, that somebody will think they're not welcomed if we don't urge them to eat and eat and eat and eat. Now, I don't deny that we ought to urge anybody to do what they ought to do. But we ought not ever urge people to do what they shouldn't do. And if we see that modesty, if somebody comes to my house and there's a modesty about them and they don't want to eat more than what they should eat for fear somebody else may not get some food, then I can encourage them to have some more if they're holding back just for modesty. But in some cases, it's best that we encourage them not to overeat. We all know that there's a spirit in this land to urge people to eat and eat without any respect to what is good for them. Men think it's necessary to compliment, eat another one, have another one. Oh man, yeah, don't you worry about that. We got plenty of it back here. I want you to eat, eat, and eat, and provoke others to eat. I mean, sometimes I've encouraged people to eat so much that they finally have to strongly declare, man, I can't eat no more. And walk around feeling bad the rest of the night because they put an excess of food into their stomachs. But among the best friends that you have, do you have one that admonishes you not to go to the excess in eating? Well, I'll tell you one thing, I've not done it for you. I've not been your friend in that area. I've been blind and I've been ignorant. I figure I ain't blind and ignorant no more. I'm going to tell you one thing, son. I see it now based on the Word of God. You ain't got to worry about this fat boy anymore. You just give me time, son. You're going to see a difference, and it'll be like that to the day I die. But I've not been your friend. I've encouraged you to eat and fed you and junked you and tried to get you to eat some more and sometimes stick more in your bag on the way home when a real friend would have told you when you walked up to the buffet, now, wait a minute. Let's all say a prayer that we don't eat to the excess tonight. You see, if I get to live and some of you dying with colon cancer and all that, I'm going to sit there and think, son, I helped you out. I helped pack some of that good old food in you. I encourage you to eat. You sit there drying away with cancers and other kinds of diseases and all other kinds of pains and afflictions that come from excess. You'd be surprised. Have you ever noticed
how much sickness goes on right after Christmas. I ain't talking about the next day. I'm talking about if that stuff lays in your belly long enough and don't get out of the walls of your system. That's no doubt why some of you are throwing up tonight. It's some of that pause that you packed in, some indulgence somewhere, some excess in eating where your system couldn't do all and clean it out and get it out of the drought. I mean, it is possible, you know. Not saying necessarily, but I'm saying we ought to think like that. And by the way, just because I ain't been sick or you ain't been sick, don't mean I'm guilty, buddy. And if God had told God to sin, I said, Lord, if you let me live another day, it's more than I deserve. Or the way I behave myself with my eating habits. Oh, listen to me. How many friends do you have that will advise you to stop when you've had enough? And remind you as you sit there and eat, now look, it's going to be real easy if you eat to the excess. And I beg of you not to do that. But we can't hardly see that as friendship, can we? It's not a real friend, one that tries to keep you out of the hospital. It's not a real friend, one that tries to make more of your days a day of feeling good and health and vigor. Well, yes, it is, but it's hard to see it like that. We prefer custom. Custom is urging others to eat. And it's so bad that if somebody don't eat till they just about can't hold them more, it almost offends you. Well, man, I went to all this trouble, and all you done was eat enough. I want you to eat in excess. I want you to overdo it. I want you to pack yourself full, you see. Hey, how sad it is that we are more concerned about others bragging on us before we are temperance and honest friendship, which is to say, look, don't do that. It's going to cost you somewhere down the road. You might say, well, what will people think when they come to the house and we don't persuade them to eat? And we don't encourage them to do so. My answer is, my regard to duty is more important than what men think of me. We must prefer virtue before the faults or breath of praise from men. Remember, those that are wise will think more of you for helping them to avoid this sin of gluttony. It's undeniable that healthy people are more prone to excess in food than sick people. In other words, if you feel good, you're more apt to overeat than somebody that feels bad. So the nature of a healthy man, I'm saying, is bent toward gluttony. You young men, you feel good, you're energetic. That means you're bent toward yielding to this sin of eating in excess. And by the way, just because you don't see the results today from yesterday, don't think, folks, that excess is not destroying your body. It is. This sin of gluttony is such a beastly, breeding, and hateful sin. And if this be so, it makes it clear that we ought to do a great deal more to help one another against such behavior as excessive eating than to provoke them to it. In other words, we ought to be kind, and I'm not talking about people going around now and start questioning what people eat. But I'm saying we need to get another spirit about this thing and not be trying to encourage people to eat beyond what is good for them. Hey, we shouldn't have a greater regard to men's favor and fancies and reports than what God thinks of us and what's the good of our souls as well as theirs. You know, if we really thought about what excess in eating does, we really would have more energy to fight against it. But listen to me, folks. Most sicknesses come from bad appetites. I'm not talking about weight problems. I'm talking about just eating to the excess, putting more in, eating here, leaving off here, and eating too much here, and putting more than your body can stand. I mean, you know, a drill can drill 1,000 holes, but you can't drill 1,000 holes at one time. It'll smoke it. And that's the way the body is. The seventh cause of gluttony is those that have enough money to eat rich and plenty are not acquainted with what true riches have been given them for. In other words, every man that has an extra dollar per week, you're going to give an account of that dollar. And if you choose to go out and spend big money on foods and dinners and suppers and eatings and all of that,
You must realize that you're going to stand and give God an account of that extra money that He gave you. So many times we have to think that our extra has been given to us so we can have plentiful provisions for our flesh, and then we use these things for ourselves. Oh, that's not so at all, you see. Hey, listen to me. God is not satisfied. I must do more than drop a crumb or two to some poor person and then indulge myself. God would have me to give an account of every dime that comes through my hand. Wealthy men think they can be saved in the exact same way the rich man went to hell. He fired sumptuously every day. But you know what? The rich man has more character than the wealthy man. At least the rich man would warn his five brothers not to come to hell, but the wealthy man will not warn others of excess in eating and that which is sinful and against God in their own self. They are clothed in purple and fine linen. They fire sumptuously every day. They have their good things in this life. Oh, and they feel good about themselves because they've given Lazarus a few crumbs along the way. But God will make all of us know in the day to come that all of us are just stewards. You may have more than I have tonight, but you're only a steward. You may have less than I have tonight, but I'm just a steward. God will let us know, and He'll let me know more so than I see now, that I should have made a better choice out of some of the money He's given me in the last years rather than toting it to my throat and then toting it to the sewer and running money through there that God had given me whereby I could have been a blessing to somebody else. I've not been a good steward of some of the money that God has given me, and I understand that and have repented of that and asked God to forgive me of that, but it doesn't change the fact I'm guilty of that. God will let us know that we should have distributed these extras and improved the benefits of others more than we should have took the money and brought hurt and bad health to ourselves. God will let us know that no matter if you had $1,000 more than a poor man, that God give you no more allowance for luxury than He did the poor. He just only give you more that you may distribute to others. If we knew the right use of money, it would help us quickly. The cause of gluttony is that men do not know the rational and spiritual exercises in which the delightful fruits of self-denial bring forth. Just saying no. Just stopping when you've had enough. That brings a great joy to a man's soul. You know, I know this by experience. My life is to study the Bible. I'm to study the Word of God just like you go out in the workforce and make whatever you do. God has called me to study the Bible and to do that which is needful for the flock of God. Now, I learned in the last years how bad eating habits takes away tremendously from my ability to study. A dullness, sleepiness, not feeling well, all of that hinders me in my calling, which is to study the Bible. You know, I remember back yonder on that 40-day fast we had, I remember how so many perked up, had more life in them than ever before during somewhere along the middle way of that fast. You know why? Because excess in eating always dulls the brain. Takes away the vitality. Oh, when you're full and when you excess, and eating to the excess is hard to study and to use your mind. He that is used to holy contemplations and meditations and reading and self-examination can really see the difference between temperance and excessiveness. Temperance in eating helps us tremendously, and fullness hinders me greatly. In other words, I do a lot better, I get a lot more accomplished in my study when I'm not full than I do when I'm full. My mind, my alertness, my picking up on spiritual truths, all of that is so much clearer. I mean, folks, listen to me. I didn't know what a gnat was during the day till I was 40 years old. Didn't know nothing about it. Didn't have a need for it. wasn't something that was required for me to be able to function. But all of that's brought on by poor eating habits. I've noticed another thing, just thus far. Of course, I've noticed it so many times before. My wife and I both have noticed it. When we get our eating habits corrected and quit taking in an excess, we always have more energy. We find ourselves, even when we want to rest, that we just can't seem to go to sleep. And that in itself shows us the sin of indulging or overeating. Most, after they eat, do nothing but sit around and talk. And how to get more in secular world, how to get more of this world. And you know, many people like to exercise after they eat so that they can clean their gut out and have room for some more. You know, a lot of people love to go to the toilet because they know it's making room to put something else in. In other words, they're living to eat. They like to quicken their appetite so they can fill their guts. They act like the children of Israel who worship the golden calf. It says the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Oh, how sad that is. The ninth cause of gluttony is men's beastly ignorance of what is helpful and hurtful to their very health. They make their appetites their rule for quantity and quality. How many ask the question when they're hungry, what do you have in your mind to eat? What do you have an appetite for? Very rarely do we think, what do we need? What would be good for us? Oh, no thought is given to our longevity. You know, it's any given meal, you're apt to think about only that meal, that any thought of what happens if you happen to make it to 50. What kind of quality of life are you going to have? How much are you going to be enjoy life? Are you going to feel well? You know, let me tell you one thing, folks. A 50-year-old man ain't got no business feeling bad. He feels bad because he's took his teeth and eat away his health. 50 years old, a man's not wore out. Now he might be. And I know every cause is not around food and appetite, but I'll tell you one thing. The biggest part of it has to do with our appetite and with our drinking schedule. These people make their appetites the rule for the quantity and quality of the food they have. They think that nature teaches them to be like this because they have such an appetite that they always desire to please that. They act like a beast more than a man. They act as if nature had not given them reason to be superior over their appetite. Hey, God gives the beast appetites that have bounds because they have no reason to bind it. To bound it. See, the Lord did not give animals. Most animals eat basically the same thing. They don't eat a lot of variety. But animals like men control, like pigs, horses, you put the right food in our son, they won't live long. They'll just keep on and on and on and on eating to the excess, till it destroys the animal. But man, we've been given reason. Listen to me, folks. I've been blind so long. I've been so ignorant of this thing. I mean, listen to me. It shows me once again how that, boy, you can be so sure and yet so wrong. Buddy, God has given me to know, yes, son. But there are laws of nature. And my, you can destroy yourself with your eating habits. You can literally take away the quality of life because of this matter of gluttony. Hey, it's amazing. We have such a love for life. We have such a fear of death. It's amazing how we do all we can to get ourselves there quicker. Well, I don't want to die. Oh, I want to live. But then we eat as if we don't care whether we live or die. But that's the power of the flesh. Hey, people judge their digestive system by its present feeling. You young people say, I don't have no problem. You ain't 40 yet, buddy. You keep on sticking it in there. Keep on eating to the excess. You better just thank God somebody standing in front of you trying to get you to see what it really is. Not trying to scold anybody. I'm not going to be looking at your food. I'm not going to be sitting in judgment on you. I'm just telling you. Because God told me to tell you. You're looking at your digestive system right now. and by his present feeling, and you say, well, I'm not sick, I'm not ready to vomit, I don't have any present pain, so you think you can eat all you want to, and all is going to be merry and well with you. But I'm telling you, it's not. It's not going to be like that. I'm telling you, young people, you're going to be sicker than we are. Because every generation of eating habits, I know my children had a lot worse eating habits than I had when I was young. And every generation seems to be getting worse. Oh, how sad it is that we don't see this, my friend. That, oh, if you want some quality of life, and if you God lets you live to be 60 years old, wouldn't you like to get out and go and take a walk with your grandchildren and be able to play a little football with your grandchild and be able to take them somewhere and feel good and be healthy? Or you will be laying back like a potato, sick, don't feel good. Don't have any energy. Just absolutely not able to function. The tenth cause of gluttony I want to speak about is such a common sin. It's so common because it's not known. It's because gluttony is not seen. Excessive eating and eating bad quality is not seen as sin. Therefore, it is no disgrace. You can go anywhere tonight or any time of the week. We don't do the business on the Lord's Day, but any time of the week and eat all you want to anywhere, and it's no disgrace. Matter of fact, people say, man, I like to see a man eat. That just thrills me to see a man be able to pack away that food. It's, boy, strange how backwards we humans are, isn't it? People are not ashamed of overeating, as long as they don't vomit. Now, man wants to stop before he vomits because even the flesh don't like to vomit. Or before he goes in some pain. He don't want to have to lay over there on the couch when he gets through eating somewhere and say, oh. And by the way, he'll eat up to that and never think it's a disgrace or see it as a sin. Think about all the buffets in our land. Oh, hey, come on, be honest. Don't you like a buffet if you can find one, if it's possible? If you know a place serves a buffet at 6 o'clock in the evening, and then you've got to just order a meal per plate at 8 o'clock in the evening, wouldn't you try to get there at 6 to get to that buffet? You know, that buffet is, you can eat all you want. You can just put it in. See, you can go to Shoney's, you know, a couple pieces of bacon probably won't hurt you. But, oh, you're going to have to get a dozen and 6 or 8 sausage patties. In other words, a buffet is set up to test your temperance. And every way is designed to do that. The great advertisement is this. All you can eat for a certain amount of dollars. Lunch buffet. All the pizza you can have for $3.99. You know what that does to you? Because you pay for the buffet, you feel like you just need to eat more than what's necessary for your body. And therefore you leave there when 5 pieces of pizza may have been a plenty. You leave there having eaten 10 because you were on the buffet ticket. And yet that encouraged you to eat all you can. The all you can eat really provokes you to eat more than is good for your body. And the whole system is set up like that. Our eyes get big, our appetites begin to dominate, and we find ourselves eating to the excess. We can't sleep at night. We roll, we toss, we feel bad. And then we get up and go to it again. So the measure which we see, every man sees another use, he thinks is moderation. Okay, everybody's going to the buffet. Everybody's getting a great big plate. So it must be the common thing to do. It's just everybody eat up. And even if you got a child that wants to just nibble and, oh, that almost, hey, you need to eat some. You need to get you a plate full. Let's go ahead and get you some bad habits now. We're all set to behave like that. The ignorance of our own health has made gluttony as common as eating a meal. The only one who seems not to be guilty are those who are restrained by poverty. They just cannot get to the buffet. They just cannot get to these fine places, these places where you pay extraordinary prices for food. But the woods are full of them, where you pay large amounts to destroy yourself, to pack it in. So every man is an example of evil to another and encourages one another in this sin of gluttony. In other words, it's so common that it seems like everybody is doing it. Just eating all you can. Everybody, if they don't do it, to encourage you to do that, go help yourself. Get all you want. Eat it up. I hate to throw it away. But what are you doing but throwing it away? You know, if you put more in you, what are you doing by hauling it from the table to the sewer? Would it not be better for the dog to have it than to put it in your body? And especially during the night hours, you got to lay there, son. You ain't getting no activity. And buddy, your body's got to lay there all night and try to do something with all that mess you chunked in it. And buddy, some of it's sticking to you like glue. It's got your blood fouled up. You know, you get bad blood, the diseases start getting you. And we'll name a dozen diseases that come from excess and eating. Oh, I know this age. Oh, we got medicines. I'm telling you, praise God, if people listen to what I'm preaching tonight, some of these pharmacies, but they wouldn't be erecting these great big drug houses all over the side of the road. But it don't look like it. Matter of fact, I just don't know where you'd go to just hear somebody talk about gluttony and rid of what it is. Oh, you may hear a man preach about a fat man. He by the way, praise God, I wish somebody preached to me about it harder than being. I'd probably still have been so full of myself, I'd have been refused to listen. But I tell you one thing, to see gluttony is, oh, you're just the right size, but you put in that excess. Huh? You put in so much, that old mucus and all drains out of your nose. You got... People, when they get up in the morning, son, they got to drag all that sludge up out of their throat. In other words, they're so full in there, and they're so coated, man, it just constantly draining all the time like pus. And a lot of it comes from overeating, excessive eating. Eating more than what your body needs at any given time. Bad eating habits. Unscheduled eating habits. Oh, the body never knows when it's going to be put to work. The body never knows when it's going to be thrown into a dilemma with heavy food. And on top of that, friend, you know, if it wasn't for sweets, your teeth would last the next generation. Because you don't use them to eat them. That's it. Two or three hits on the meat. While the day at dinner, fun, you felt some big chunks slide down. Wasn't even all chewed up. That's why God gave you those teeth. You thought He'd give it to you as you walk around and go. God give you them set of grinders up there to tear that stuff all to pieces before it goes to your belly and digestive system. But oh, we become so savage that, man, we can devour the largest portions of meat in just a matter of just moments. We've gulped it down. And we'd rather get irritated at somebody that's still eating 15 minutes after you got done trying to chew theirs. You've hit it three times, filled up the plate three times, and there's somebody one plate still trying to chew it down. You know, they're actually using their teeth. Instead of your teeth being a quarter of an inch shorter when you die, yours actually grew. In other words, from a lack of use. You know, a horse, the older he gets, the shorter his teeth gets. He grinds and grinds and grinds and grinds and grinds. But not this age, man. This age, they put a piece of meat in there and hit it about three times and feel it going down. Sometimes people have to stop and swallow twice on the same bite to get it to go down. And throw all in big chunks in there for that body to take care of. Boy, are we not wonderfully made. And buddy, how long a man can deny his system? And by the way, folks, just because I stand here tonight and able to speak to you, I don't know what kind of disease is going to get me before I see you again. All because of all those times in the past. Eating to like, man, let me sit down.
Oh, I don't feel good. I feel sick. And boy, what man don't like that he's got that habit he likes to belch. And boy, that makes room for that one more piece. That next little thing. One more cookie. One more bite. And folks, I'm telling you, buddy, this country is digging their grave with their teeth. And we're bringing on undue health problems, failures of our vital systems, all under the pretense of, well, God give me an appetite. God made foods that taste different. Yeah, but don't forget what else God gave you. He gave you reason so that you can judge the quantity you need to eat, and you can also judge quality. When something begins to bother you, or you find that you're getting more sicknesses, and you find that you're getting more infections, and you're getting more of this sludge up your in your nose and all around your head area, it's time for you to take a look at your diet. Oh no, you'd rather go buy you some sinus free, hadn't you? You're gonna rather find you something to cram up your nose and dissolve it, so you can get enough breath to go. Hey, that's this age, folks. It's no longer, even though doctors now still try to tell people, you know, you need to stop this, you need to watch this, you're eating way too much of this. It's been dumb people like me has been standing up saying, oh, well, eat all you want to, it ain't got to do with nothing. But hey, it has got something to do with something. And I should have been wiser to even make such stupid statements as that. And God's had mercy on me just not to make a living example out of me of what bad eating had to do and absolutely destroyed me. I mean, I ain't hitting on much right now. Oh, if I had to go out there tomorrow and keep up with something, you boys in here, son, they'd tote me off in a stretcher. That's how bad a shape I done got. I can't run from here to the house. I'm talking about run. I'm afraid it'll break a bone when he's toting so much weight. I'm scared to do much. I'm afraid I'll hurt something, pull something, rip something, tire something, break something. At just 46, that ought not to be. I brought it on myself with gluttony. Inflammations, we're going to find out where that comes from excess. You get inflamed several places, you want to blow up. Your joints blowing up. I'm going to tell you, son, you're sucking down all that big portions. And oh, just because your belly ain't big, you think you got it hooked. But watch that old big belly here may live 10 years longer than you because I was honest enough to admit my problem. And you want to stand back like a Pharisee and say, well, I don't have a weight problem. And I don't nothing bother me. When your carcass begins to have a staunchy smell about it and you're starting to rot, you may realize that your eating habits were not as healthy as you thought. As I thought one time, I used to gobble, and when you left, I'd gobble some more. I got all but eating it in the middle of the night. I never did get up and get to the habit I had to go to the refrigerator at night, but I probably would have ended up at that.